Sportscast, February 3rd, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening to Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. You can also listen to us on our 24/7 radio. You can also go to our website, thesportscast.net, for the latest and greatest. And download our app, The Sportscast, for iOS. This week, today's show, we're going to recap the hirings, two major hirings, one for the Broncos, one for the Texans. And, of course, we're going to preview the NFL Pro Bowl if we have time. And join us all the way from Winter Blue State, New York, Ryan Krista, welcome to the Sportscast.
Santiago, I'm hoping to heat things up because it is very cold up here in Rochester today. You know, windshield below zero.
It's below zero today.
You know, it's cold. We're not getting much snow this year, but we've been very lucky because they haven't been cold until this week. So we're due for it. So Mother Nature's kicking our butt today.
So the groundhog was right. There will be 6 weeks more winter.
Yeah, as soon as that groundhog comes, there we go. The winter comes. So there we go. Thanks, Phil.
He predicts it. All right, Ryan, big week. Your team, the Denver Broncos, definitely your team, hired Sean Payton as the head coach of the Denver Broncos. Contract somewhere between $17 million to $20 million. Apparently, he was not the first choice. The Michael Ryans, which we'll get to a little bit later, was not the first choice, Sean Payton. But it all came to be. Jim Harbaugh didn't work out, but Sean Payton came to be in for the Broncos.
Absolutely. It was kind of a wild search in the sense that they've had a long time, so, you know, they fired, you know, Nathaniel Hackett shortly after Christmas, you know, which is a thought that, you know, that's really gives them a couple of weeks to kind of jump on, you know, these coaching hires. But it took a while, and in general, it's not just the Broncos, but it was just, you know, you had five coaching vacancies, and, you know, you still got two left, you know, so it's been a very slow process, you know, hiring, because usually most of them are done, you know, well before the Super Bowl, you know, happened. So I really think, you know, Harbaugh was their first choice. But, you know, he wanted to stay in Michigan, you know. And then, you know, they really did love D'Amico Ryan. He seems to be a likable guy. Gets along good with the team. But I think what you have here, you got Texans, you got a fresh start. Basically, you know, I think you're going to get a brand new quarterback, you know. With a brand new quarterback usually comes time and lower expectations. And he's got history with the Texans. He's the all-time leading tackler, I think, you know, for the Texans. So, you know, he's done it there for a while, you know, as a player. So coming back, I think there's some sort of, you know, connection there. So I think the Broncos, you know, rumor has it, you know, early Wednesday really try to back Ryans into committing to them, but ultimately he wanted to coach the Texans. You know, I think right now, so you bring in Sean Payton, obviously that came with a price. And again, they don't have any first-round picks this year, so they're going to have to build this team, you know, build with basically what they got. You know, they don't have much salary cap room. So, you know, Payton's got a big job ahead of him, you know. Can he recover? You know, can he bring back the Russell Wilson that the Broncos thought they were getting last year, and the Russell Wilson that was in Seattle? So that's what he's been charged to do. It'd be nice, I think, you know, to keeping the current defense coordinator who didn't, you know, hasn't gotten any other head coaching jobs. You know, I think if he doesn't, I think he'll come back to Denver to be the defensive coordinator because he did do a good job. So we'll see where that goes, but overall, I think this is the best hire for Russell, based on what Sean Payton did with the Saints, you know, with Drew Brees, you know, even with the success he had with Jameis Winston, you know, in that short time, you know, he got the best out of him. So I hope we're not getting fool's gold like we got with Russell Wilson last year and Nathaniel Hackett. So I guess anything's better than, you know, one of the worst offenses that Denver's ever seen last year.
Here's what Denver had to give up to get Sean Payton: a first round pick from the San Francisco 49ers and a 2024 second round pick that was traded to the Saints. Join us, Jeff Favre, our third contributor today. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, man. Just excited to, well, I guess it's 2 weeks away or a full week away yet, but excited for the Super Bowl, man.
Awesome. You are joined with Ryan Krista. We were discussing about Sean Payton to the Broncos. Jeff, is this a good pickup for the Broncos?
Yeah, I mean, they needed some level of continuity. They've been flying through head coaches and quarterbacks for the last, well, since Payton left, what, 2015? So crazy to say, but it's been 7 or 8 years now. So whatever they did this year, I think good, bad, or indifferent, they had to get somebody that had some kind of stability, some kind of background, proven track record. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a good move for them. And I think that, look, I don't think we're ever going to see prime Russell Wilson again, but I do think Peyton will get the most out of whatever he has left. You know, he'll make the most of what he does have left in the tank.
Ryan, with Sean Payton, can the Broncos be in play for the AFC West?
You know, San Diego, kind of the theme of Groundhog Day is you ask me every August, this is going to be the year that somebody dethrones the Chiefs, and I said, I don't think so. and you know, Jeff was just saying, you know, since Peyton, you know, left after the 2016 Super Bowl, one thing is that the Broncos, they haven't beaten the Chiefs since then. You know, if you can't beat the top dog, can't win the division, you know. So we're looking for somebody that can crack the code, you know, and not just the Broncos. No one can really crack the code with the Chiefs, you know. So it's, yeah. But yeah, I think Peyton can give them consistency. And I think, you know, they got weapons, and we'll see what they do in the offseason here, you know. To revamp an offensive line and, you know, being able to develop some balance, you know, because they got to get Javonte Williams healthy, hopefully next year. You know, kind of figure out, you know, where did they go. And like I said, defense is okay. Defense kept us in a lot of games. Won us a couple of games, too. So that's good. But, you know, yeah, we'll see what Payton's got. It's a tall order, Santiago. It's a very tall order.
Jeff is not worried about it.
No, Jeff shouldn't be worried. He should be worried about another Super Bowl. So two different stages of an organization for sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
go ahead, Jeff.
Year to year, though. You never know. I mean, obviously, you know, everybody thought this year would be a step back for the Chiefs because of trading Tyreek Hill, and they're back in the Super Bowl. So I mean, they're in a pretty good spot. But you know, with that said, you know, every year is different. I don't see the Broncos competing for the division necessarily. But if they're just improved a little bit, then you could be talking about them as at least, you know, a wild card team, compete with the Chargers, and then that sets you up to take that next step after that. So they're doing the right things.
All right, on to the hire. Go ahead, Ryan. Finish that thought.
And also, with regards to Chargers, I thought they had a home run hire this week too, in Kellen Moore. I mean,
yeah.
I think Kellen
thoughts
Moore,
on that. That
you know,
was
I think
hire,
that he's the type of stabilization Justin Herbert needs. You know, I think he's going to try to bring a lot of balance. Sometimes, you know, I think the Chargers get a little pass happy in their offense, you know, ultra aggressive. I think, you know, Kellen Moore will try to bring a little bit more balance to that attack, you know, get the most out of Justin Herbert. To me, that's a great roster, a great young quarterback. And I think that's the closest competition the Chiefs have right now. But, and that being said, you know, I mean, the Raiders are one trade away from Aaron Rodgers and reuniting with Davante Adams, you know.
Which
so,
he said he's going to, he said that Rodgers will move into his neighborhood. Doesn't mean he's going to play for the Raiders.
Yeah. No, but I think, you know, that's, to me, it's either three options right now. Rodgers stays in Green Bay, goes to Las Vegas, or goes to the Jets. And I think that's the thing. To me, those are three options I think are the most like biggest possibilities as of right now. But we'll see. Time will tell. There's a off season's long, so we'll see.
Jeff, where do you think it's a good place for Rodgers to go to? And also, we'll cover on the whole Kellen Moore thing after. But first, your thoughts on Rodgers. Where do you think he should go, or where should he stay?
Well, I do think it's time. I mean, the Packers have to play Jordan Love at some point if they think he's a real talent. I'll tell you, with Rodgers being older, he might like playing in Vegas just because controlled temperatures, won't have to be outside in the cold all the time. A lot of older quarterbacks, you know, it's harder to play in the colder weather as they age. But I would say if that's not a contributing factor, I don't know. The Jets really felt like a team that could have won a few more games if their quarterback just didn't completely sabotage them. So if he would go to the Jets, I mean, I think that's a pretty good fit. As long as they get their offensive linemen back healthy and continue to run the ball. And I think the Jets, you know, I think that'd be a pretty good fit. I think the Jets would be a good place for him.
How about Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator for the Chargers? Will that help out Herbert and the gang?
I mean, I agree that it's a good hire, but man, the Chargers win the offseason every year. They should have probably beat the Jags. I mean, they were up, 27-0 and then fell apart and lost. So, I mean, yeah, it's a good hire, but I want to see them play games. You know, it's a long, long, long ways off from playing games, and let's see them play a couple games because they have a way of just losing in fantastic fashion.
Let's go to the AFC. DeMeco Ryans hired to the Texans. He used to play for Houston. Now he's back, signed for a 6-year contract. The past two coaches signed 1-year contracts. DeMeco says, I'm doing 6. Ryan, your thoughts? Is this going to be a huge, huge up for the Texans?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, if he does what he does, you know, I think, like I said, he's a well-liked guy in the locker room. And, he, you know, 49ers defense loved him. So, yeah, I mean, as long as he gets time. And Houston has had a track record lately of just, you know, hiring a guy and firing him right away. You know, I think this has got, you know, with a 6-year contract, and I'm sure that was, you know, in, you know, done with the purpose of, you know, giving them time because they're going to go draft, you know, a young, you know, either a young quarterback this year, you know, to build around. So, but I think it, as long as they give them time and, you know, give them the resources and they hit on that quarterback, you know, I think that's ultra success because we're not talking about a world beating division here too right now. We know Colts are all in a bad spot too. The Jaguar, you know, your winner division was, you know, just a shade over 500. You know, the Titans, I don't know what the heck they're doing. You know, we're hitting a tailspin. The Jaguars, is this a 1-year wonder? You know, Trevor Lawrence is good, but, you know, I don't know how good they really are. So I don't think you're coming into a winnable division. You know, that won't take much, you know, because if you can hit on that quarterback and then go from there and build that roster around. You know, there's got to be a bond between, you know, Ryans and GM and ownership, you know, to what they're looking for, you know, in their key pieces of their organization.
AFC South lost Tom Brady, of course. The Texans now just have Mills as quarterback, Driscoll and Kyle Allen. What does the Texans need to do to get this squad roster going? Jeff, your thoughts?
In the position they're in, you take the best players you possibly, like in the draft, they're just going to have to take, look, you can't, when you're at the basement level, complete rebuild, your roster is just not ready to compete for anything. You just have to add as many good players as you possibly can. Now, obviously, if you're picking as high as they are, most people will try to find a quarterback because you only get so many opportunities to pick that high. But beyond that, they just have to add talent. It doesn't matter if it's defensive line, linebacker, secondary, you know, offensive line, wide receivers. They just need to add more talent at every position. So I think that's the approach that makes the most sense. And, you know, the Jaguars are a good example. I mean, they got Lawrence, and obviously that's fortunate. And they seem to be trending. They got the right head coach with Peterson. But aside from that, man, they just, you know, their defensive line has a bunch of young talent. And, you know, maybe the Texans, it doesn't work out exactly that way, but just add as much talent as you possibly can. Take the best players possible.
We mentioned Tom Brady. He retired yesterday. So far, he's retired after actually 2 days, more than 48 hours. Ryan, this is it for Tom?
Yeah, I think so. I think that we all saw that kind of watching him this year, his personal life deteriorate, you know, just the way he just never looked happy, you know, the way he's treating his teammates. You know, he's hard on his teammates, but he was extra hard. It seemed like he didn't seem it. You know, and the way the Buccaneers were underachievers, you know, that's a team I feel like it's going to hit rock bottom this year. The Buccaneers may, you know, I think, you know, they're going to be looking to shed some salaries and, you know, kind of a little bit of fire sale and rebuild this roster a little bit. So they held this roster, you know, with, you know, toothpicks, you know, which is kind of a shame for Todd Bowles because he's probably, you know, not going to make it very long, you know, this year. You know? So they'll probably rebuild as a new coach starting next year. So we'll see what happens. You know, right now the only quarterback they have on their roster is Kyle Trask, who, you know, is a Gator fan I love, but, you know, he's vastly under, you know, I guess he's fourth round, I wouldn't say underachieved, but, you know, he's not the guy they want to build a franchise on. Maybe they want to build him as a, you know, a backup still, but, you know, they're going to have to, you know, either draft a quarterback, bring in a free agent, you know. Maybe this is a spot for Jimmy G to land. We'll see.
Jeff, there was a lot of commentators that said Joe Montana was a better quarterback regular season and Peyton Manning was a better postseason, but Tom Brady was not in those top like, how would you rank Tom Brady in NFL history as quarterbacks? The GOAT or not so GOAT?
I mean, look, I think he won 7 Super Bowls, man. I mean, I get it. I know early in his career, he played on mostly defensive teams, and he definitely had an incredible supporting cast. He got some lucky bounces along the way, you know, the Atlanta game with the Edelman catch and, you know, the Chiefs game with Dee Ford, and a lot of things went his way. But the other side of that is the year that they went undefeated, you know, if they don't lose a couple guys in the AFC Championship game, they might have won that Super Bowl. So here's my point. He played 10 Super Bowls, man. You know, he played in 10. I mean, come on. Like, everybody tries to make an excuse to say he's not the best ever. And maybe somebody else wants to see him eventually, but I think, look, the two best quarterbacks in my lifetime, you know, I'm 39 years old. The two best quarterbacks I've ever seen play that have finished their careers are Tom Brady and Joe Montana. Those are the two best I've ever seen play. I think they're very similar in a lot of ways. And to me, those are the two best. And I think you have to give it to Brady just because of all the winning.
Yeah, which is one thing that I wish I saw Joe Montana play. Yes, I was alive, but I didn't watch much of NFL at a young age before, like, 93. So that's one thing that I got to look on YouTube videos. 1 week away from the Super Bowl, Jeff, your Chiefs is going. They beat the Bengals by only 3 points. Your thoughts over this Chiefs team heading to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, look, I go back and forth a lot, to be honest, because I don't really like the argument about, like, some people are saying, oh, the Eagles had such a soft schedule. I mean, first of all, I don't know that they actually did have a soft schedule. But the one thing that did stick out to me is that, and I don't even remember who drew this to my attention, but if you go look at the quarterbacks they played against, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen a team go the whole way through a season, and I don't know that they played a single, like, elite upper echelon quarterback the entire year. Just the way their schedule worked out, the way the playoffs fell, and then, Purdy got hurt either the first or second drive of the game. So, I still think the Eagles roster is more well-rounded than the Chiefs because I think both their offensive and defensive lines are really, really good. I also think that the second level of the defense, assuming that, I mean, I'm assuming the Chiefs are going to get Kadarius Toney and Juju Smith-Schuster back. It sounds like Mecole Hardman isn't going to make it back.
He's looking for another pinion out there.
Yeah, he is. I mean, it just doesn't look very good because he was already out for 10 weeks and then tried to come back and got hurt again. But my point is they haven't played a quarterback even in the same stratosphere as Mahomes. They didn't play like Burrow or Allen, or they played Rodgers, I think, for a quarter, you know, until he got hurt and Jordan Love came in. So I just I think they're gonna have a challenge that they have not come close to facing this year. But I also think on the positive for the Eagles, if they're willing to just muck up the game and play ugly, which is what they're so good at, I think they're more well built to control the tempo of the game because their offensive line is just so good. I think what they can do is just have those long sustained drives, and if they finish with touchdowns, they could control the tempo of the game. All that said, you know, obviously I'm a Chiefs fan, so it doesn't seem right that I would pick against them in the Super Bowl. But I, you know,
you could.
I think the Chiefs will win 27-24. And the reason I say that is just that Jalen Hurts has grown a lot, but the Eagles are still being very, very careful to keep him within the framework of run game, RPO. Everything is paint by numbers. And I think in the Super Bowl, even though the Chiefs defense isn't necessarily great, I think they'll really work hard to force him to get outside of that paint by numbers and have to like really, you know, make some plays with his arm. And you know, we'll see if he does that, right? Like, and not just be able to make a one read nine route throw, like to actually go through a progression and, you know, make your way through your read. So, and maybe he'll do that. We'll see. But I just, the Eagles have the more balanced roster. The Chiefs have the better quarterback. I think both coaches are really good, even though they're very different. And if I wasn't a Chiefs fan, I might pick the Eagles, but I can't do that. You know, your team makes it to the Super Bowl. You got to believe in them.
You could pick the Eagles if you wanted to.
I mean, you could, but I just it doesn't feel right. You know, but it's like making the perfect chimichanga and eating half of it. You know, you can't do it.
Perfect analogy, Ryan. Ryan, what are your thoughts over this matchup in the Super Bowl, Chiefs and the Eagles? I know you're not you're a supporter of the Broncos and the Bills sometimes, but you got no dog in the fight. What are your thoughts over this matchup as of a week from now? You could change your mind next Thursday if you wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to go against Patrick Mahomes, you know, but and I'm assuming he's going to be healthier than he was last week. But yeah, I mean, and I'm assuming they're going to get some of these weapons back at the end of that game, man. It was rough, you know. They couldn't go into a lot of their normal sets because they didn't have enough healthy, you know, wideouts. But, you know, Jeff hit that in nail. You know, if the Eagles can run the ball, you know, with Sanders and Gainwell and Scott and Hurts, you know, they can control that clock. And when they're playing downhill with that running attack, you know, actually they're playing downhill on both sides of the ball because they've got ultra-aggressive defense. They'll attack you. They're dangerous. You know, like you said, they kind of took advantage of, you know, a bad – and that's it. An overachieving Giants team and got some, you know, fortunate luck against the 49ers and were able to suffocate them. They did what they had to. They did what they're supposed to do. Because they didn't, you know, beat – those inferior teams, they clobbered them, you know. But obviously, you know, Chiefs are a different animal. You know, I think the Chiefs are going to have to try to run the ball, you know, obviously a little better than they did last week against the Bengals. Yeah, Pacheco or whoever it's got to be, they're gonna McKinnon. McKinnon was dynamite at the end of the season. I haven't seen him much his first 2 weeks of the playoffs. He got me some made me some money here at the end of this late season pickup in fantasy, but
that's pretty much it.
But yeah, if they can find some balance themselves and take a little bit of pressure off Patrick Mahomes and some of these wideouts, I really don't foresee that. I just can't pick against the Chiefs, and Patrick Mahomes.
Wow, you guys are on the same side of things. I think Eagles are a little bit more complete team. I think Ryan hit some good points there about the running game. They used a lot against it against the 49ers. So it should be an interesting matchup, a good matchup, I think. Minus Tyreek Hill, I'm really impressed with what the Chiefs did and Andy Reid able to assimilate and, of course, use Kelce as their number one option. All right, before we close, closing words from Ryan and Jeff. Anything you want, you got the mic on the phone. Let's start with Jeff.
Yeah, just I think it's going to be a great Super Bowl. And I think this doesn't always happen. It seems like a lot of years the Super Bowl is like the hot team versus the really good team. And I think the two best teams made it this year. I really think the Eagles and Chiefs are the two best teams in football. And we'll just see what happens. I'm excited to watch it.
Ryan Krista, what you got? Your closing words. You could put some NBA in that soup.
Another night, another Luka Magic show for 3.5 quarters until he got another injury. Hopefully, if it's not too severe for us Mavericks fans, when he goes down, we're up by 27 points against pretty inferior Pelicans team, and we had to hold on. So hopefully Luka will be healthy. What he's done this year is spectacular. Give him the MVP. He's not the GOAT, but he's the GOAT this year, and that's my closing statement.
What is the best way to reach you, Jeff, to talk to you about Super Bowl snacks and your favorite thing to spread on a croissant?
Best way to follow along is on Twitter at Jeff Ballmer.
Ryan Mad Dog Krista, what is the best way to reach you online to say, hey, Ryan, what should I wear if I go to Buffalo this weekend?
Lots and lots of clothes. Mad Dog Report 18. One more closing statement. Hope the Zags can beat St. Mary's tomorrow. And we got the first installment of Duke in North Carolina. So don't forget about that tomorrow. Rivalry matchup. Day tomorrow.
Heavyweights.
Heavyweight. Yeah, heavyweight names. I wouldn't say heavyweight teams, but heavyweight names.
So it's Mad Dog Chris, Mad Dog Report on Twitter, and you can reach us at thesportscast.net and the Sportscast One. This weekend is Pro Bowl, so we're seeing the Manning brothers coach flag football. What's up? What do you think about that, Jeff?
Sorry, man, you cut out there for a second.
Oh, Peyton Manning and Eli Manning are coaching flag football this weekend at the Pro Bowl. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be really entertaining. I mean, I could listen to those guys talk about like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich recipe. So, I think it'll be entertaining.
It should be entertaining. Anyways, I'm gonna go head out. Ryan and Jeff, thanks for coming on the Sportscast Double. I haven't seen you guys in a year together. Hope to see you guys again soon.
Thanks, Santiago.
All right, thanks for having me.